Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. Clinton's Call for Tolerance.
Hello. I receive a number of letters from listeners who tell me, "Hey, I agree with what you say about America's race problem, but I don't understand why you're so hard on Jews. Certainly the Jews who run the media are bad, but the rest of them are just like us. Why do you talk about them as if they're non-white?" Actually, I've answered that question 100 times on my programs. Let me answer it again today. As you undoubtedly are aware, Pat Buchanan will be a candidate for President of the United States in next year's election. The other candidates presumably will be George Bush Jr. for the Republicans, and either Al Gore or Bill Bradley for the Democrats. At present, Buchanan is a Republican, but he may end up running as the candidate of a third party, since he is unlikely to beat Bush for the Republican Party's nomination. I want to make it clear that I am not a Buchanan supporter. Buchanan is the only candidate who comes even remotely close to being honest, to being a man of principle, a man who means what he says and says what he means. I have agreed with some of Buchanan's positions in the past, but we also disagree on a number of fundamental issues, and I will not be supporting him, partly because I cannot support the system under which all the candidates will be running. What I think about Buchanan isn't really important here, though. It's what the Jews think about Buchanan that we'll talk about today. As you might suspect, Buchanan is not a favorite with the Jews. For one thing, he's a conservative. For another thing, he's spoken out against several of the Jews' favorite wars. And he doesn't take orders well. So we shouldn't be surprised if they don't give him rave reviews in their media, such as the New York Times or the Washington Post, and they don't. But if you really want to know how the Jews feel about Buchanan, you must read what they say about him among themselves. When the Jews write in the New York Times or the Washington Post, they are writing for Gentile consumption. But they have their strictly kosher publications, which the Gentile public never sees. An example is New York's Jewish Press, which bills itself as the world's largest circulation English language newspaper for Jews. 3 weeks ago, in the October 1st issue of the Jewish Press, a Jewish spokesman, Professor Howard L. Adelson, had a column titled, "Another Sewer Rat Appears." Professor Adelson wrote, and I quote, "Out of the slime of the sewers and into the filth of the gutter, a desperate Patrick J. Buchanan, the neo-Nazi, has crawled into the political arena using anti-Semitism as his principal device to secure a future for himself." That's the first sentence in Professor Adelson's column, and it's a bit awkward, so I'll read it again for you, and you can savor its Jewish flavor. "Out of the slime of the sewers and into the filth of the gutter, a desperate Patrick J. Buchanan, the neo-Nazi, has crawled into the political arena using anti-Semitism as his principal device to secure a future for himself." Well, that's just the beginning of a very long column by Professor Adelson, and every sentence oozes a vicious Talmudic hatred. He goes on to say that Buchanan, quote, "always was a neo-Nazi whose, quote, ignorance is astounding and, quote, reveals the shallow quality of his tortured, sick, defective mind," etc. In a separate column in the Jewish Press, Rabbi Raphael Grossman, the honorary president of the Rabbinical Council of America, gives us his own outpouring of Jewish hate against Buchanan. In another Jewish newspaper, the October 1st issue of The Forward, which also is published in New York, Harvard Law School professor Alan Dershowitz writes, and I quote, "Let there be no mistake about it. Pat Buchanan is a classic anti-Semite with fascist leanings who hates Israel and loves Nazi war criminals," end quote. And Dershowitz raves on and on, concluding, and again I quote, "Let us begin to think about Pat Buchanan realistically. He is a bigot who appeals to the worst of America. That's why he will always be a loser," end of quote. Actually, that last statement of Dershowitz's displays the same sort of deception that characterizes Jewish statements intended primarily for the Gentile public. If Dershowitz really believed that Buchanan always will be a loser because he appeals to the worst of America, then Dershowitz and his fellow Jewish leaders wouldn't be knocking themselves out to vilify the man. The real meaning of Dershowitz's statement is that the Jews themselves must do everything needed to ensure that Buchanan becomes a loser and doesn't gain any influence over American policy. Another Forward article in the September 24th issue reports on the strategy the Jews are using to keep Buchanan from gaining any influence. The article has a remarkably frank headline, namely, and I quote, "Leadership presses Bush in bid to block Buchanan from Republican ranks." The leadership referred to consists of the leaders of the whole Jewish community, not just the media bosses. Jews such as Abe Foxman, National Director of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit, Matt Brooks, Executive Director of the Republican Jewish Coalition, and Ira Forman, Executive Director of the National Jewish Democratic Council. If you think it's strange for the head of the Republican Jews to be working out a plan with the head of the Democratic Jews to apply pressure to the principal Gentile Republican candidate to shut another Gentile Republican candidate out of the election, then you still have a lot to learn about Jews. There are many other Jewish leaders and organizations involved in this effort to stifle Buchanan. The Forward article lists, for example, leaders of the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, the American Jewish Committee, and so on. One of the most interesting recommendations in the Forward article is that the Jews themselves should stay in the background in their campaign against Buchanan and should use Gentile frontmen as their tools against Buchanan. Men such as Republican candidate George Bush Jr., New York real estate developer Donald Trump, and Arizona Republican Senator John McCain. The idea is to keep the public from understanding that the campaign against Buchanan is a Jewish campaign, lest there be a public reaction against the Jews and in favor of Buchanan. And by the way, both the Jewish press and the Forward are accessible to anyone who wants to check for himself the excerpts I have quoted. The Jews try to keep them out of sight of the Gentiles, but they can be gotten hold of through any big library. They both have websites on the Internet, although you won't find the most revealing articles posted there. But you can obtain subscription information from their websites and subscribe to them and read everything in them if you really are interested. Now, I'll say it again. I am not a Buchanan supporter. Buchanan and I have quite different policies on a number of issues. Buchanan believes, for example, that the United States should give Israel a permanent commitment that we will use our weapons and armed forces to guarantee Israel's military superiority over its neighbors. I am totally against that. I am simply using this Jewish campaign against Buchanan as an illustration of the way the Jews think and the way they work, so that you will understand that the Jews really are not like white people. They have a psychology entirely different from ours. They are a race unto themselves, a race with a totally subjective way of looking at the world. Buchanan has never attacked Jews as such. He works with Jews. He has Jewish associates. He simply refuses to let himself be used as their puppet, the way virtually all the other politicians do. And because of this, the Jews are consumed with hatred against him, and go all out to keep him from gaining any public influence in America. The Jews simply cannot tolerate an honest, independent Gentile leader. They are scared to death of an honest man becoming president, or even a dishonest man who is independent, who will not take orders from them, a man they cannot control. They understand that they have a tiger by the tail, and if they lose their grip, they are all goners. Here's another illustration. Back during the Nixon period, 25 years ago, I was puzzled as to why the Jews hated Richard Nixon so much, why they worked so hard to destroy him. It's true, of course, that Nixon didn't like Jews. I mean, who does? But Nixon did have a Jew, Henry Kissinger, running America's foreign policy. He had another Jew, Leonard Garment, as his chief White House counsel. He had a Jew, William Sapphire, as his chief speechwriter. He put a Jew, Herb Stein, in as chairman of his Council of Economic Advisers. He appointed a Jew, Arthur Burns, chairman of the Federal Reserve. He gave Israel everything the Jews demanded. But the Jews obviously hated his guts, the way they hate Buchanan today. Back then, I didn't understand why. Today, I do understand. Richard Nixon, remember, gained his first political prominence as a prosecutor of communist spies. And of course, virtually all of those communist spies were Jews. The Jews as a whole, not just those who were actively involved in communist espionage, never forgave Nixon for that. That, coupled with Nixon's obvious dislike for Jews, convinced them that he was a man who couldn't be trusted, a man who might turn on them under the right circumstances. Another example. I was a physics graduate student at Caltech in Pasadena back in 1955 and 1956, and I was totally non-political at that time. I used to run around with a fellow physics student who was a Jew, Leo Levitt. Leo and I didn't talk politics because I wasn't interested in politics. But the two of us were in a group of other students one day when someone mentioned Senator Joseph McCarthy, who a couple of years earlier had made headlines by investigating communist subversion in the government and in the U.S. Army. Leo's whole demeanor changed when he heard McCarthy's name. He was practically foaming at the mouth as he expressed his hatred of Joseph McCarthy in the vilest language imaginable. Killing was too good for McCarthy, Leo said. He should be tortured to death in fiendish ways, which Leo described in detail. Leo's expression of hatred was so vehement that it has stuck in my mind for nearly 45 years. Leo wasn't a practicing communist himself and had never been involved in politics. He was simply expressing a racial hatred that virtually all the Jews of every political persuasion seemed to have against McCarthy because they regarded him as a threat to the Jews as a whole, a threat to the Jewish race. And the fact of the matter was that McCarthy never targeted Jews as such in his investigations and never made public statements against Jews. Like Nixon, he surrounded himself with Jewish aides, most notably Roy Cohn and David Schein. Cohn and Schein had a homosexual affair, and Cohn's efforts to keep Schein from being drafted by the Army and sent to Korea made a laughingstock of McCarthy's committee. The Jews hated McCarthy because they were unable to control him and because his efforts were exposing Jewish subversion and the extent of Jewish involvement in communism, even though inadvertently. They hated Richard Nixon because Nixon also had exposed Jewish subversion and the extent of Jewish involvement in communism, although inadvertently. In addition, Nixon did really dislike and distrust Jews and often expressed himself on this subject to subordinates in the White House. There's a lot of whining going on now as White House tapes with some of Nixon's comments about Jews are being made public. This week's issue of Newsweek magazine, for example, whines about Nixon's taped comment that, quote, most Jews are disloyal. You can't trust the bastards, end of quote. The excerpts from the Nixon tapes in this week's Newsweek also gave an example of why Nixon didn't trust Jews, referring to his work as a congressional investigator of communist infiltration of the U.S. government. Nixon said, and I quote, the only two non-Jews in the communist conspiracy were Chambers and Hiss. The only two non-Jews, every other one was a Jew, end of quote. Both McCarthy and Nixon, by investigating and exposing communists, had frightened and angered Jews collectively. They tried to stay on the good side of the Jews by appointing Jews to important posts, hiring lots of Cones and Kissingers. But the Jews still considered the two men a danger, just as they consider Pat Buchanan a danger today, even though Buchanan is willing to give to Israel guarantees which should not be given. And again, when I say that the Jews hate Pat Buchanan just like they hated Joseph McCarthy and Richard Nixon, I'm not talking about just Jewish communists or the Jewish media bosses. I'm talking about the Jews as a whole, the Jews as a race. And I know that there are individual exceptions. McCarthy had his Roy Cohn and David Shine. Nixon had his Henry Kissinger and Leonard Garment and Arthur Burns and the rest. And Buchanan has his court Jews also. But don't be fooled by that. The Jews hate Buchanan collectively and subjectively with the sort of vicious, irrational hatred that is peculiar to Jews and not even conceivable to us. They are different, and it is correct and necessary to think of them as a whole, despite individual exceptions. While we're on this subject, let's explore it a little further. As I mentioned earlier, nobody really likes Jews, and that includes politicians who surround themselves with court Jews for protection. But the Jews tolerate and support some of these Gentile politicians while they undermine and attack others. What accounts for the difference in the way they responded to Richard Nixon, say, and the way they respond to Bill Clinton? The answer, in brief, to this question is that Nixon, despite the strenuous efforts he made to please the Jews, despite his willingness to do nearly everything they demanded of him, still held back a bit from being the totally willing tool they wanted. Every time they made new demands on Nixon, they sensed his hatred. Bill Clinton, on the other hand, has no reservations whatsoever about serving the Jews. I'll give you an example. Last week, I told you about the kidnap, rape, and murder of 13-year-old Jesse Dirkhuizing by two adult homosexuals in Rogers, Arkansas on September 26th. I told you that the news of this horrible crime had been deliberately blacked out of the national news media by the Jewish media bosses, but I provided information to help listeners find the news on the Internet by going to the website of the Northwest Arkansas Morning News, which did report the crime. Some listeners reported back to me that they still hadn't been able to find the news on the Internet, so I'll add now that the crime also has been reported fairly extensively in the Benton County Daily Record and in the Rogers Hometown News. Some of the nastier and more lurid details of the crime are mentioned in these two local newspapers. For example, one of the homosexuals, Davis Don Carpenter, a 38-year-old hairstylist who brags that he has lived in 26 states and has boyfriends in all 50 states, showed his homosexual partner, 22-year-old Joshua McCabe Brown, the proper way to tie up and position a child for raping, even providing diagrams showing the proper procedure and naming the best drug to use for sedating the child during the rape. Well, probably the technique worked well enough for earlier child raping episodes, but something went wrong when they raped little Jesse Dirkhuizing. When they noticed that the boy had stopped breathing and was turning blue, they called 911. Police were met by a stark naked Joshua Brown in the hallway, who explained that they, quote, were just playing a game with the dead child. One other detail in connection with this crime. On October 2nd, just 6 days after Jesse Dirkhuizing was raped to death, President Bill Clinton was exchanging hugs and kisses with one of the larger groups of his homosexual supporters. He was the speaker at a Democratic fundraiser in Los Angeles, hosted by a group called Action Now for Gay and Lesbian Equality. The perverts donated $850,000 to the Democratic Party at the dinner. The theme of Clinton's talk to the group was that Americans need to become more tolerant of homosexuals and their lifestyle. More tolerant, really. You know, there was a court hearing for Carpenter and Brown on September 28th in Bentonville, the county seat. The local people were pretty unhappy, and so the two homosexuals were protected by bulletproof vests and under heavy guard. Even so, a local reporter in the courtroom could hear a woman outside yelling that the homosexuals would burn in hell. If Janet Reno had been there, she would have had the FBI arrest that woman for intolerance, and Clinton could have collected another couple of $100,000 from the homosexual lobby. It's not just that Clinton chose to visit his homosexual supporters in Los Angeles and to ignore the murder of little Jesse Dirkhuizing in his home state. The government and the controlled media of this country, by encouraging homosexuals, by trying to make us all believe that homosexuals should have the same rights as everyone else, that they should be allowed to be teachers and Boy Scout leaders, and that we all should be nice to them and let them do what they want and not be suspicious of them or shun them, created the atmosphere in which the murder of Jesse Dirkhuizing became possible. The two rapists were emboldened by all of the propaganda calling for more tolerance for homosexuals, by all of the media hullabaloo to win sympathy for Matthew Shepard, the homosexual who was killed last year when he tried to pick up a date in a bar in Laramie, Wyoming. This pro-homosexual propaganda by Clinton and the media not only encouraged homosexuals to come out of the closet and flaunt their perversion in public, it led some of them to push harder than before against the heterosexual society around them, to take chances they would not have taken before. Did I make myself clear? I'm blaming the rape and murder of 13-year-old Jesse Dirkhuizing on the Jewish media and on the government which dances to the media's tune. They encouraged Davis Don Carpenter and Joshua McCabe Brown to take a chance they would not have taken in a more traditional moral environment. I'm also saying that Bill Clinton, by ignoring the homosexual rape and murder of Jesse Dirkhuizing, and just 6 days after that horrible crime, running off to tell his homosexual supporters in Los Angeles that we all need to be more tolerant of homosexuals and their behavior, proved once again to the Jews that he is the sort of man they can trust, the sort of man utterly without honor or scruple or principle that they want as our president. Thanks for being with me again today.